Text for our sermon this morning, our gospel reading from Luke 3, especially these words. So with many other exhortations, John preached good news to the people. So far, text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. John preached good news. Didn't really sound like good news, did it? After all, the people were expecting John to be the Messiah. And John tells them he's not. Doesn't sound very good. They wanted John to be the Christ. After all, he looked like an Old Testament prophet. If anybody could rally the people and lead them out of captivity from Rome, wouldn't it be John? They were all clamoring to him. It must be him. And so while they're expecting him to be the Christ, John preaches the good news and says, "No, I'm not." John reminds them that somebody else more powerful than he is coming. Well, that might be good. But John tells them who this guy is. He's much more powerful than John. John's not even worthy to stoop down and untie this guy's sandals. That sounds good. A super powerful guy, better than John? The crowd would enjoy that. But then John begins talking about what this next guy would do. He would gather wheat into the barn. That sounds good. But burn chaff with unquenchable fire. Doesn't sound so good. His winnowing fork is in his hand. This guy's ready to work. And who's the chaff? Is it the Romans? Is it the Jews? John's not so clear on that. Is this good news that John is preaching to the people? Telling them to repent of their sins? Telling them that they're not good enough? Is that good news? John gives them law. He gives everybody law. Not just the Jewish people, but the Gentile rulers as well. He even gives King Herod some law, to the point where Herod locks up John in prison. Is that good news? It's kind of odd the way that Luke records this, isn't it? Because it doesn't sound very good that John isn't the Christ, and then when the Christ comes, he'll burn up the chaff, and John giving law upon law to the people. Doesn't sound like good news. But you know it is. John is preparing the way of the Christ. John stands there in the waters of the Jordan River, baptizing people for repentance, giving them good news that they are sinful and unworthy of God's grace and mercy, that they should repent of their sins. It's good news. He tells them that the Mighty One is about to come, and he's ready to work. That's good news. We recognize that. We realize that this is good. Good news. For the Christ is about to burst onto the scene. Well, burst might not be the right word. Luke kind of goes right over the baptism of Jesus in this text. When everybody's baptized and Jesus is too. No other details. And that's the way Luke wants it. That's the good news. Jesus being baptized. Not that Jesus had any sins of himself, but Jesus comes to those waters, the Christ, to begin taking up the sins of sinners, those filthy Jordan River waters. Jesus begins stooping down to be our servant, to begin taking our sins on himself and carrying them in our place. He's ready to work. There's the good news. He's ready to gather the wheat into his barn. There's the good news. What's the wheat, though? It's the sinners who think they're worthless. Those who think they don't deserve God's grace and mercy. There's the wheat. There's the one Jesus longs to gather. He longs to eat with those sinners and speak to them about the kingdom of God. He longs to tell them parables and show them miracles and give them mercy. He wants to gather them to himself. There's good news. You also, you, sinner, Jesus longs to gather you. The harvest time, the farmers long to gather the harvest, don't they? They've been working hard for months, preparing and getting everything ready. And now, the harvest comes, it's time for joy. That joy Jesus has as he gathers you into his barn. He welcomes a sinner like you through baptism. Not his baptism. For at his he began taking up your sins. But at your baptism, the one that Paul talks about in Romans 6, the one that perhaps happened right here at this font, with that little bit of water placed upon your forehead, and those words, baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, didn't look like much or sound like much. But there at your baptism, you died with Jesus. You really died. Not some fake death or some metaphysical death. No, a real death. His death on the cross became your death, and yours becomes his. That happy exchange where Jesus takes all of your sins and gives you his righteousness. It happened at your baptism. For as you died with Christ, you were raised up with him. You were resurrected to live that new life. Isn't that good news? That's what John anticipates and looks forward to. That good news that you would be gathered into the barn by Jesus. That he would come to you in your life and forgive your sins and grant you life with him. That life, you don't have to wait for. It began already at your baptism. There you began living that new life with him as your sins were forgiven, all of them. And you were raised from those baptismal waters. Indeed, that is good news. The baptism of Jesus begins quickly his ministry. Soon we will see him gathering grain, wheat, into the barn as he calls sinners to repentance and to follow him. Soon we will see Jesus' miracles and parables, and we will see him die on the tree for sinners. Jesus still gathers. He still separates the wheat from the chaff. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He's ready to work, to call more into his church. He's called you to follow him. What good news. He's forgiven you all your sins. What good news. He's given you life. Life more abundant. What good news. As you live in his kingdom, you have the privilege and the pleasure to share that good news, as John did, with all you come into contact with. In his name, amen.